Please be advised that this episode of Theatre of the World contains a scene of disturbing and unnecessary violence where someone is stabbed with a sword made out of frozen vomit and may not be appropriate for some listeners.
Oh no! I've just been stabbed with a sword made out of frozen vomit!
Oh dear. Well, I'm glad we warned people. This is disgusting and it's so unnecessary.
Oh! The vomit's starting to melt!
Yikes.
The world's fallen.
Man Bites God presents Theatre of the World.
Hello, everybody who's listening or has ears or both. Welcome to Theatre of the World. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And in Theatre of the World, what we do is this. We take a word every week, a special word, an important word, a word that always is first in the queue. And we talk about that word. We use that word as the basis for stories and songs and poems and conversation. And we raise that word up until it floats above the clouds like a balloon full of clouds. Oy. Today's word is pets. We will invite you to pet us.
All right.
Now that you understand the premise, the next thing to understand is the facts. And the way that we put facts into you is the way that Americans often introduce foreign policy through the medium of bombs. Fact bombs.
Fact bombs, fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bombs.
Other countries have bombs too.
Yeah. A pet is an animal kept primarily for a person's company or entertainment. Mm. Some scholars, ethicists, and animal rights organizations have raised concerns over keeping pets because of the lack of autonomy and objectification of non-human animals. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jessica Pierce was one of these people, and she began to question the idea of pet ownership when she was in a local pet store chain buying crickets for her daughter's gecko. A man came in carrying a Tupperware tub of live baby rats, and she believed the man was offering to sell them to the store as pets or as food for the shop's resident snakes.
But she was fine with the crickets for the gecko.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's only in non-human animals that they have a problem with being pets.
So, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So human animals.
You can
fine.
Keep humans
as
pets.
You can have a man as a pet.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be like honest with you. I wouldn't mind being someone's pet.
Yeah.
Sounds good. You sleep in the sun all day.
Yeah.
Go for walks.
Yeah,
I love
true.
A walk.
I don't mind eating off the floor. Like if I didn't have to go to honestly, if I didn't have to go to work, I would totally be someone's pet.
Yeah. Shit wherever you want.
No. But you do it in the backyard.
Yeah. Well, shit wherever you want within reason.
Yeah, not on the carpet. Yeah. But like if your owners were working, then you get on the internet, maybe read some books.
Play Nintendo.
Yeah. However, these days I feel like there's some indignity to being a pet because there are so many weird pet costumes now that people buy for their pets that I don't know whether I'd want to be a pet now.
I would prefer to be in a costume than naked though.
Yes, true.
I wouldn't mind. Dress me as a bee. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, dress as a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be fine. Just wear a onesie.
Yeah. Great. Oh my God. I would love to be someone's pet.
Man.
You're in a onesie. You're warm.
There you go, listeners. If anyone is after a pet, you've got three suitors here.
Chris needs worming. But
yeah.
The term pet peeve was introduced to wide readership in the single-panel comic strip The Little Pet Peeve in the Chicago Tribune during the period of 1916 to 1920. It was created by the cartoonist Frank King and contains humorous critiques of generally thoughtless behaviours and nuisance frustrations. Examples include people reading the intertitles in silent films aloud. My God.
Yeah.
Cracking an egg only to smell that it's gone rotten.
Right.
Grr. Backseat drivers. And, perhaps worst of all, rugs that keep catching the bottom of the door and bunching up.
I mean, what is the deal?
Yes. I mean, pet peeves, though, feel like something that should happen a lot. And I don't know where he's going where people are just constantly reading the intertitles in films.
It was 1916 to 1920.
I guess so.
So probably going to the cinema.
Right. Everybody's just sitting there going, it's just a guy playing a piano. we should read these out aloud. That's nice for the blind people.
Yeah. All the blind people at the cinema.
Yeah.
What? Why would blind people watch a silent movie, Chris?
Because they like listening to piano.
Yes.
This is a weird turn of events.
Yeah.
The Pet Rock was a collectible made in 1975 by advertising executive Gary Dahl. Pet Rocks were smooth stones collected from Mexico's Rosarito Beach. And they were marketed as live pets in custom cardboard boxes, complete with straw and breathing holes. The fad lasted 6 months, ending after a short increase in sales during the Christmas season of December 1975, although by February 1976 they were discounted due to lower sales. Overall, Dahl sold 1.5 million Pet Rocks for $4 each and became a millionaire.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was a fad. That was a genius move.
Yeah.
Did they have googly eyes on them?
I don't think they did.
So it was just a rock in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah, no cost.
Yeah.
He got Mexicans to dig them. He didn't even sell good, honest American rocks.
Yeah.
Imported rocks.
I had a pet rock once, but then I showed it to a geologist friend of mine, and she told me that it was actually a petrified wood.
That could not have been timed better, but it's a shame. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well,
petrified wood.
Petrified wood.
Petrified wood.
Yeah.
Fact bombs.
Thank you for your fact bombs.
You're welcome, Christopher.
Hey.
Yes.
My dad's family, when he was a young boy, when they were growing up, had a pet dog.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Traditional. Pretty popular. Mm-hmm. And his name was Razzle.
Ooh. It's an unconventional name for a dog, but very good.
It's a good name, though.
Good
it's a
name.
Dog name.
Yeah.
Razzle. Mm. And he was a sort of a I think
it's like Russell, but more jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like.
Yeah.
He's a very smart dog and very in tune with the family. And much like many family dogs, when someone did a fart, Razzle used to be blamed. And what would happen is someone would let out a fart and then they turn to Razzle and they go, "Oh, Razzle! Oh, you dirty, yucky dog." And Razzle would look suitably chastened and skulk out of the room. This dog was so lovely and smart that one day they were all sitting around the television and the matriarch of the family, the grandmother, was sitting there and she let out an enormously audible fart. No one had any doubt who had farted and that a fart had taken place. Mm. And Razzle, without saying a word, got up and left the room. Because he knew that he'd be blamed.
It was a Pavlovian response. He hears the fart and goes, "I'm out."
He preempted.
Hey.
Hey, Chris.
Do you know what? The internet is full of things for animals.
Uh-huh.
And which is weird because most animals can't use the internet.
Exactly. And that's why they rely on humans. Mm. And that's why Peter is so against them.
Just trying to think, who the fuck is Peter?
Not Peter.
Why did you point at me?
Yeah. That's weird.
You know Peter. Your friends with Peter. Because Peter don't like domesticated animals, or that people have domesticated animals, but they go, "We can't just let them all go because they will all die in the streets."
Yeah.
So they're sort of
Wait, is
stuck.
That, like, is it pronounced Peter because they don't want the word pet in there?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Anyhow. So there are lots of opportunities for businesses to sell various products to your pets or to humans.
Or for your pets.
Related to your pets. But the website I came across.
Oh, this is Chris's website.
And I would, intro this as being a website.
I feel like this is we sidle into these segments now.
He sneaks up on us, doesn't he?
Segue right through.
Chris's website.
So is that too hard now? You can continue.
One of the websites on the internet is called Cuddle Clones. Have you heard of Cuddle Clones?
No.
It's kind of creepy.
Really? Because the title certainly doesn't belie that.
Yeah. So essentially, this company makes a clone of your particular pet.
Mm.
Well, potentially out just of dogs. So it's like a cuddly toy, right? It's a small version of your pet.
Uh-huh.
What's weird about it is they are very similar. There's a look-alike factor to them. For example, for $249, you can have a not quite right dead-eyed replica of your dog. And if you look on the website, you'll see they are just... They're really uncanny valley sort of territory.
I really feel like they missed a trick not calling their business a dead-eyed replica. It's a much better title than cuddle clone. Yeah. I love dead-eyed replica.
They're very, very close to your dog, but not quite right. And you know the weird thing is that when dogs are aggressive, they open their eyes really wide. Mm. That's what these dogs look like.
Isn't that what the movie Pet Sematary is about? Not quite right versions of your pets coming back?
Yeah. You can also get your dog converted. Well, not converted. But you can get, you can get your
back
dog
legs off. Wheels on.
As a pair of slippers. So it looks like you've hollowed out a pair of pups and stretched them onto your feet to go and get the paper.
They would be called hush puppies, I guess.
Yeah.
Something better than that. Barkersons.
But the creepiest one, and go and visit the website and see for yourself, is they make golf club covers. That look like you've decapitated your furry friend and then stuck their head as a trophy on the end of your golf clubs.
As a warning to other stuffed dogs.
Go and check that website out.
What was it called again?
Cuddleclones.com.
For all your zombie plush dog needs.
All this beautiful hair belongs to Barbie. New deluxe quick curl Barbie. A long, long fall, how pretty it swirls. Then you give her pigtails, you give her curls. And all this beautiful hair belongs to Barbie.
Hey! It wouldn't be a series of Theatre of the World if we didn't do James's List of Things.
James's List of Things, James's List of Things, James has got some things to list.
Pets.
No.
Not pets.
Not pets.
No.
Somewhat not related to pets.
Not even remotely related. Could not be bothered. But, this will kill some time. This is 5 needlessly aggressive compliments.
Oh, nice.
It's an odd juxtaposition, but sometimes people, you give them a compliment and they no, and they don't accept it. I was actually, as a segue, a very good piece of advice that I was given when all three of us were starting out in the music biz was people would come up after a show and go, "Oh, that was really good." And I used to go, when I was very young, I mucked this bit up and this wasn't very good. And someone took me aside one day and said, "Hey, when someone takes the time to come up to you after a show and say that it's good, if you argue with them, then you're sort of saying, oh, your opinion is not very important. You know, they thought it was really good and they were nice enough to come up after a show and say it's really good. It doesn't matter what you think. You're not important in that scenario. It's their opinion. They're expressing it. It's lovely that they're doing it. Just say thanks." And that was a really good bit of, I can't remember who told me, that was a really good bit of advice. Even if I do something horrible and terrible. Let's say, I don't know, I've killed some orphans.
Yeah.
If someone says, "That was a great way that you killed those orphans," I go, "Thanks." I don't go, "Nah, I missed that slice.
A couple of them lived."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only got a leg. on one
not enough blood.
Yeah. So this might circumvent that, the idea that, like, some people are hard to compliment. So this is five needlessly aggressive compliments. Number one. Why don't you take a good long look at all the people who think you're cool, you beloved maniac? Number two.
I can see where it's going.
You are an amazing person and everyone else can suck it. Number three. I hope any doubts you have die horribly in a gutter, you piece of genius. Number four. Eat a bag of love, you goddamned person of value. And finally, number five, needlessly aggressive compliments. Only a moron would hate you, you complete delight. There you go. Try those out on someone who doesn't enjoy being complimented.
Yeah.
See what happens. Because the tone is distracting, hence the juxtapositional joke.
Yeah.
So we're talking about pets tonight.
Oh, we're back to pets again.
We weren't, but we are now.
But we are now. And I have a pet. I have a pet dog.
Yes, yes, traditional.
And Chris, you have a pet dog.
I have a pet dog as well.
And my pet dog, one of the joys of being my pet is that you get, or a friend of mine.
Are you, sorry, because I'm looking to become someone's pet. Is this, are you advertising? Because should I?
Sure.
Should I see if I fit the criteria?
Sure.
Okay.
Do you enjoy lots of nicknames being made up about you?
I am married, so yes.
So I'm gonna list. I'm not sure that this list is definitive. I think it's pretty good, but this is the list of nicknames I have christened my dog Charlie.
Yes,
that's a nice list. But so, it's not really a list, is it? It's a sequence of items.
Oh, it's not even that. I don't even know how many there are. There are quite a lot.
I don't know how many there are. What a selling point.
So Charlie, obviously, that's his name.
Yes.
That goes very easily into Charles.
Yes.
Which then becomes Charles Emerson Winchester III.
Yes.
Charles Barkley.
Uh-huh.
That was good.
Very good. I like
that. Very,
very
proud
clever.
Of that one. Yeah. Gnarls Barkley. Sure. Charlie Brown. Childish Gambino. Chuck. Chuck Wagon. Chuck Bucket. Chuckle Bucket. Uncle Chunk. Uncle Chuckles. Chase. Chubb. Uncle Chubb. Chugger. Uncle Chuck.
Charlie. Uncle is like a default. Oh my God, I've thought of a new thing. I better put Uncle in front of it.
Charlie's Theron.
That's a good one.
Chachi. Carl. Carly Simon. Carl Doggo. That's a Game of Thrones reference.
Yeah.
Charlene. Charlesburg. Carlos. Chaz. Cha-Cha. Charlton, Lord Charlington III, Chandler. Yeah.
You haven't gone for a Charlie in the Chocolate Factory when he's gone for
Uncle Chandler,
a dump,
Uncle
Charlie's the gun.
Uncle Charlie Chandler. Oh, Chowder, that's a good name for him. Chowder, Uncle Chowder,
Chapa. My dog is called Pip.
Yeah,
and how many names I got? Made a note. Pip has very few names. Mm. Pippi.
Pippi Longstocking.
Sometimes
Uncle Pippi Longstocking.
Pippin is also that's common. Nice. And her full name is Piperella, which is where the rescue people gave her the name Piperella.
Do they do that thing? Because often rescue people, they'll do, like, if dogs come in clumps.
A dog should never be in a clump.
No, apparently.
This dog has been horrendously abused. It's coming in a clump.
Apparently, they create these very distinctive names because they have so many dogs through that if they call them all Jack, then people call up and say, oh, there's something wrong with Jack. And they go, oh, which Jack is that?
Uncle Jack.
But the nickname she's got recently is Pipe because...
Pipe is good.
I made a note because we thought that she was having a little bit of an incontinence issue in the night because her bed was a little bit damp. And one of the things the vet suggested was that we should record how much water she drinks to see whether she's having an unnatural amount of water during the day, indicating maybe a more serious issue. And then I just used Siri to try and make a reminder. And for some reason, Siri changed Pip, which is a very different word. Mm. She changed Pip to Pipe. Mm. So it was see how much water pipe drank.
Which then, sort of makes sense, a water pipe. Yeah. So that almost makes sense.
And it's so weird that she...
Pip is a word.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's a common noun.
Yeah, it's a, Siri just went, Pip is a dumb name. Let's change that.
Pipe is good.
Pipe. So now she's Pipe.
So I saw a post on Instagram that was your dog in a nappy. Mm-hmm. Which obviously was a journey towards whether she was incontinent or not. So how's that going?
Well,
incontinence update.
I put the nappy on her.
Yeah.
And then about 2 minutes later, she chewed through the nappy.
Yeah.
And took it off.
Yeah.
And said, this is too shameful. In dog language.
Right.
As it turns out, it was probably just condensation under her bed.
It's a happy ending, everybody.
Yeah, it was. Good. It was delightful. She's happy.
I bet.
Pipe is so happy. Yeah. Her pipes are not broken.
Yeah.
Happy pipe.
All the water she can drink.
Hey, I don't know. Is this a... this might be pets.
Sure. Oh, God.
I mean, you've set the bar low, so...
Oh, good. Do you remember, I don't know, a few seasons ago or last season or something?
I hardly remember the last episode.
Oh, good. I wrote a series of adventures for Winx.
Ah, yeah.
Who are Winx?
Yeah.
The little woodland ferret. It's always getting in adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, everybody?
Did you write another one?
There's another Winx adventure.
Excellent.
That's kind of a pet.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Ferrets are pets.
It's animally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mark, our usual Winx music. If
sure.
And that would start now. Winx wants a woman. A Valentine Winx story.
Oh.
Author's note, this is a Winx prequel and takes place before all of that business with the baby possum and the cryogenic freezing and the aliens. Mother Ferret would usually wake Winx up every morning with a gentle kiss on his forehead, a cup of steaming hot cocoa, and a plate of delicious bacon, anchovy, and marshmallow sandwiches. But this morning, Mother Ferret had been called away to act as a midwife for Alice the Ant, who, against her parents' advice and all the laws of nature and decency, had fallen pregnant to Evan the Elephant. It promised to be an hilarious and messy delivery, and Mother Winx didn't want to miss it. And so, this morning, Winx the Ferret was woken by his stepfather, Gustav the Stoat. Gustav woke Winx by flicking lit matches at his fur and giggling as he sipped from an ample supply of morning beers. Gosh, said Winx, waking up and playfully patting out a small spot fire that Gustav had started in the fur on his left thigh. It's very early to be drinking. Not if you haven't slept for days, retorted Gustav, laughing maniacally and trying to kiss the imaginary mermaid floating in front of him. He toppled forward uselessly and contented himself with kissing the ground instead. Gosh, said Winx, making that the 467th sentence in a row that he had started with the word gosh. It's a wonder Mummy stays with you, Gustav, what with all your drinking and vomiting and crying and insane government conspiracy theories. I gave her a nice present on Valentine's Day, mumbled Gustav into the carpet, and then I got her to marry me, so now she has to be with me forever. Gustav laughed again, and a little bit of wee came out of him. Today was Valentine's Day, and so Winx decided to be hideously and ridiculously in love with someone, or something, or anything, so that he could be married and trick them into liking him. After careful thought, he decided to focus this disturbing new set of emotions on Stacy the Stick Insect. This was mostly because of all the woodland inhabitants, she'd been voted least choosy creature on no less than 30 separate occasions. The main reason for this was that Stacy suffered from something that no other stick insect in the history of stick insects had ever suffered from. Gigantism. Indeed, Stacy looked less like a stick and more like a tall log. Winx knew that this was the woman for him. Grabbing his tiny guitar, Winx minced daintily and happily around to Stacy's house and stood below her balcony. He was going to serenade her with an ad-libbed song of joy and happiness and kissing and things on Valentine's Day and make her all his. Winx was a little nervous as he had never actually written or sung a song before, but he had seen people do it on television and it looked easy enough. He looked up and spied Stacy through her French windows. Their eyes met. Winks was suddenly filled with the kind of courage that usually only visits the very drunk or the very insane. He raised his hand and brought it down hard, playing the first chord of what he knew would be the most stirring and haunting love ballad ever performed. Well, the sharp metal strings of his guitar burst loose of their tuning pegs and immediately embedded themselves into his wrists, slicing them in every direction. With his veins suddenly and violently open, Winks quickly abandoned his song in favor of running around, screaming in a high-pitched, terrified whine and gushing blood from his arteries like some kind of furry blood sprinkler. Stacy the stick insect, who was famously not too choosy and less famously also tone deaf, believed that the bile-curdling shrieks being emitted by Winx's flailing body was one of the most beautiful and poetic Valentine's Day songs she had ever heard. And so she threw open the French doors to listen more closely. Unfortunately, the French doors smashed and much of the glass fell into Winx's eyes, making him bleed and scream and run around for exciting new reasons. As she looked more closely, Stacy the stick insect wondered if Winx might actually be in some kind of trouble. But then she noticed something that made her faux wooden heart skip a beat. In running and flailing and bleeding from one end of the lawn to the other, Winks had inadvertently drawn a giant love heart in his own warm, steamy blood. This was the most romantic thing that Stacy the stick insect had ever seen, and she skidded down the stairs to where Winks's pale body now lay twitching and otherwise motionless. She was determined there and then she would marry Winks and love him and trick him into never leaving her. Sadly, as she ran towards him, she was thrown onto a fire by some passing gerbils who mistook her for a tall log. 2 days later, when Winks woke up in hospital, he had forgotten the entire incident. The end.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a Valentine's Day like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there. There you go. Winks. Yeah. Or
nice.
Yeah, Winky's back. Not every week though, because they're fucking hard to write.
I have a. It's not a segment. We don't have to have a theme tune. There's no point.
Okay. Fine, great.
But it's sort of the opposing, not opposing, but it's a similar.
We
segment.
Don't have to have a segment, but we do have to have a reasonable explanation there's as to what's going on.
There's a. It's sort of an advice for young people, but wait for it. It's advice for young parents.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting.
Because you know a young family needs a little puppy or a kitten or a little canary. A young family.
A mining family.
A young family is not complete without some kind of pet. And of course, most of the time they go for the boring pets. But occasionally, if you branch
occasionally
out.
They get a man off a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I mean, if you're up for it, please call this number.
A person in a onesie. Humanpets.com. We have to start humanpets.com. This is the greatest business idea we have ever had.
Register now. I have some advice for the parents of young people who want to just branch out a little bit and get something that's maybe a little bit unique for their children.
Mark, how many segments do you feel at this point Chris has stolen from us?
All of them?
Yeah,
I think the only truly original ones are Chris's website and Cleverbot.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I think that's everything else has been just completely plagiarized.
Yeah. Anyway.
So,
sorry, Chris. I'm sorry, keep going.
So, if your child is young enough to be learning to read, an aardvark is a great starting pet. Also, a little bit dangerous.
Especially if your child is an ant.
Yes, it's true.
Why not start him out with an avocado? It's like a pet rock, but he can eat it.
It's a pet rock with a green jumper on.
Yeah.
Sort out the smart from the dumb children by getting them a fish pond full of piranha. Encourage your child to use their imagination by buying them a dodo. If your child is a slow runner, a tortoise will boost their self-esteem by allowing them to win every running race.
No, you don't understand. The tortoise always wins.
Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
Is your child called Dot? Then get her a kangaroo, you fucking asshole.
Jesus.
Wow. reference to a, what, like 1970s storybook there?
Hey, there's been a movie recently.
I think the movie was in the 80s.
You might have started a new advertising trend, like threatening, abusive advertising. Just get her a fucking kangaroo, you fucking cunt.
Bloody idiot. An octopus has 8 arms to hug you with. For better value, a squid has 10 arms to hug you with, whereas a kraken has 10 arms to hug you with, plus huge, terrible teeth and the power to swallow a ship whole, so it would also make a good household security system.
Yes, but a hydra has 2 faces to kiss you with.
Wow.
And if you cut one off, 2 more grow.
It's a good suggestion.
And could be an orgy. Medusa has like a head full of snakes.
Let's add that into the list.
Sure.
A skunk can cloak a naturally stinky child's scent. Raising a tiny witch? Why not try a toad? We've so many of them in Australia, so we may as well give them out to every child and find out which ones are witches. Alternatively...
Sorry, can we go back?
Yes. Yeah.
We're trying to find out which children are witches by giving them toads.
Toads.
So I give a child a toad.
Yes.
What does it do to make me understand that it's a witch?
It has to rub it on its face.
Rub the toad on its face? Yes. Or rub the toad... on its face.
No, it has to rub the actual toad on its face.
Right.
On its actual face.
Like some kind of balm.
Yes, that's right. And then...
And that's when you know...
That's when you know your child's a witch.
Then what do? You burn them?
No. I mean, it's up to you at that point. I mean, we've come a long way since the witch burning.
What's the of having a witch hunt if you don't have a plan of what to do once you've hunted all the witches?
Yeah. I think, actually, my friend's car was a witch because it was toad. Oh, fuck you.
Alternatively, an owl is good for witch children. These clever
witch
little...
Witch children.
No, witch children.
Witch children?
Witch
these,
children.
These clever nocturnal birds will impress your children with their ability to rotate their heads 360 degrees, which will allow them to process horror film scenes such as in The Exorcist. That is, if they're not torn to shreds by the talons in the meantime. Cockroaches are excellent pets and easy to obtain... by just not cleaning the kitchen. And finally, polar bears are like big, cuddly teddies, but will require a second freezer as a den. Also, they are easily stained by children's filthy hands. Advice for people who have children.
Or witches.
That was very good. This is a very minor thing, just a small thing.
Oh, no.
But I once...
Is it a criticism?
No.
Feedback?
There are 3-legged dogs.
Yeah.
And they're fine.
Saw one the other day.
To get off topic for a little bit, one of the most amazing quotes I've ever heard is, I think it was the... Because German people love dogs, right? They love dogs. They love 3 things, Germans. Yeah. You can get elected as a president for life in Germany as long as your 3 platforms are fast cars and good roads, dogs, beer. Yep. And what's amazing mostly about Germans is they don't ever combine those things, which is good. But they love dogs in Germany. Mm. It's a big dog culture. So Germans were the first to introduce the idea of giving homeless people dogs. And the idea behind it was that, obviously, it's companionship and it's a beautiful thing for homeless people to have some companionship and, you know, a lovely little friend. But also there's a responsibility component to that. So you're giving responsibility to a homeless person and the homeless person often willingly accepts that responsibility, and then it really does improve their mental state because, you know, they're sort of in it with somebody else. It's like a team member, and that's worked They have a friend, and it's worked really brilliantly as a thing. But the way that it's sold, like the slogan of the whole program, if you like, is the phrase "Dogs don't know they're homeless."
Aww.
Isn't that lovely?
That's so nice.
It almost makes me tear up. Dogs don't know they're homeless. That's such a lovely idea because dogs are nature's miracles.
Yeah.
Like they're so precious and wonderful. And so the idea of that is really pretty. You'll see 3-legged dogs around because for the same thing, dogs don't know they have 3 legs. They just, you know, that's just how they walk. It's how they run. You see a dog, a 3-legged dog is just as happy as a 4-legged dog.
Yeah.
That's no problem. So the other day I saw a 3-legged blind dog. Oh, do you want this? You want pathos? Do you want pathos amped up to the nth degree? Three-legged blind dog. Oh, my God. Oh my
Was it
God.
Homeless?
Oh, my God. Struggling up the steps at a train station with its owner in tow, three-legged blind dog. And you know what? Good on it. Amazing. Amazingly brave, intelligent creature. No, they didn't need money, but I wanted to give them money.
Yeah.
Because it was so brave and wonderful.
Yeah.
That was all.
Yeah. When I was in Indonesia a few years ago, I stayed at a cabin that was right, it was an island, so everywhere was basically on the ocean. Mm-hmm. And there was this sort of mangy, I'm pretty sure it was the hotel dog, but it was pretty mangy. It was blind in one eye. Well, it had a bit of a limp, and it was a little bit scary, missing a few teeth. You know, it was a little bit worse for wear, but in the morning it would bark, and that was really annoying. At 6 in the morning, and one morning it was barking so much that I went over to the window and I looked out, and the dog was standing at the end of a short pier over the ocean, just barking at the wind, essentially, just barking into the ocean.
That's a Stevie Nicks album, Barking at the Wind.
There was, I could hear, I think, one of the owners yelling at it from their cabin somewhere else, but it just was barking at the wind, and the sun was sort of rising. It was a little bit dark and spooky, and I went back to bed and tried to get back to sleep again. And as I was drifting off to sleep, I had this vision that the dog, everybody hated the dog because the dog would bark all the time, but that the dog was protecting us from the spirits of the sea, and it was actually there just barking at these ghosts trying to come into the hotel and, you know, scare everybody. But the dog was there proudly saying, you go back, spirits. Go back to your watery graves.
So it was like Scrappy-Doo?
Yeah, kind of. Kind of, and then I really wanted to make a graphic novel about the adventures of Ghost Dog.
That's cool.
And maybe I will one day.
Yeah. You probably need a different title because Ghost Dog is a rather wonderful Jim Jarmusch film.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea.
I call it Indonesian Ghost Dog.
That's much better.
Yeah.
Very swish. Hey, that reminds me
of
a story involving dogs. I went on my honeymoon to Boracay, which is one of the islands in the Philippines. Mm. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So we're there. We're loved up as hell. We're on one of the most pristine beaches in the world, like white, beautiful, powdery beach. And we're watching the sunset into the water. Glorious. Like this beautiful red and yellow flaming hue that's just suffusing the island with, you know, these lovely colors. And we're watching it, you know, be swallowed up by this beautiful ocean, and we're, you know, lying on the beach and very happy and content. And, you know, like a lot of islands in the world, there are wild dogs, mm-hmm. or like, you know, little beach dogs. My wife has gone, oh, isn't it beautiful here? I said, yeah, it's gorgeous and it's wonderful. And then two lovely dogs have just sort of trotted past us. And she said, oh, and look at those dogs. It's like they're friends. And at that moment, they started fucking. It could not have been funnier. Literally, one dog mounts the other dog as the sun is setting majestically behind it. And I just heard my wife go, oh.
Those dogs get it.
Romance.
Fucking beach dogs.
No, sometimes, particularly if you're new to a pet, you do need to go and find some advice. Yeah. And one of the best resources for finding advice on the internet is Yahoo Answers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
what that is.
Oh, James, it's a portion of the internet where you can ask a question. You can pretty much phrase it however you like in whatever broken syntax, whatever form of misspelled English you like. And regardless of how idiotic your question, someone will respond.
Is it a cowboy?
It's like stupid Quora, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like imbecile Reddit.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And Reddit's pretty imbecile.
I know.
There's some very smart, funny people on Reddit.
And some very smart, funny people.
So I went and I've picked a few threads off of Yahoo Answers, which were from the pet category.
Great.
This is an anonymous user. It's written, what is my dog's name?
It's Pipe.
Safquil responds, dog names for males. Number one, Charlie. Number two, Max. Number three,
Uncle
Buddy.
Charlie.
Number four, Oscar. Number five, Milo. Number six, Archie. Number seven, Ollie. Number eight, Toby. Dog's name for females. One, Bella. Two, Molly. Three, Coco. Four, Ruby. Five, Lucy. Six, Bailey. Seven, Daisy. Eight, Rosie.
Why can't Coco and Bailey be unisex names?
Yeah.
Why are we... Are you Bailey. Gender yeah. stereotypes.
Yeah.
Another anonymous user has asked, can anyone honestly say they've never owned a pet in their life? Someone replies, some people haven't. Arthur has written, yes, but I am not one of them. I have, however, known plants of kids that grew up in apartments that did not allow pets, and their parents weren't willing to risk pissing off the landlord. There are also people who simply might not have an interest in animals or allergies won't allow them.
Mm, thanks, Arthur.
Destroyer, who's spelt his name with two threes in it, says, I've never owned a pet.
Right. And well, that's conclusive. So that's good. That's at least one. That's all you need.
Well, he's a destroyer. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Dave W. has written, lots of people have never had a pet, but I've been blessed with having a pet every year of my life. Cats, dogs, rabbits, and even a goldfish. And yes, unfortunately, having a pet means losing a pet, which is the hardest part.
Can I say that guy needs a man in a onesie who will outlive him?
Yeah. And then the original poster has updated and said, update, I have owned quite a lot and it never gets any easier losing one.
Aww. Seriously, brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, man in a onesie is not just for Christmas.
I mean, what else are you doing with your life that you have to go to Yahoo Answers to ask that question?
It's such a weird thread.
Yeah.
No one else is reading this but four people.
Yeah. All but right. Really, Destroyer was the only one who actually solved the problem. Because he literally said no.
Yeah.
And therefore, question answered.
Yeah.
I'm the exception that disproves the rule.
Yeah.
Have you ever taught your pet any tricks? If so, what are they? Jim P. writes, just to roll over before my dog gets a treat. Now, I wasn't sure whether Jim rolls over and then his dog gets a treat.
It's not quite clear, is it?
Yeah.
I once taught a bird fly back to me.
My bird taught me English.
And then Barbara writes, oh my God, Barbara gets a little hot under the collar and says, once again, delete a serious question and I have asked a stupid question. Get real, Yahoo.
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means that her other question or answer has been deleted and she's now written something else that's a complete non sequitur because it's gone.
That's a thing?
Corky writes, no, my cat doesn't know any tricks.
Please tell me someone has written the reply, yes, my dog can now saw a lady in half. That's what I would write.
My mom wants me to get a hamster, but I want a gerdel because the hamster has big balls and gerdels is cooler than hamsters. How do I get gerdels?
I think you lick something in public.
Someone calling themselves the first dragon replies, compromise and get a hamster without balls, a female. But I agree with you. I like gerbils better.
Oh, my God.
Here's a great one. I dropped an uncooked party pie on the floor, and my dog ate it. Is it bad for him? Update. Don't answer if you are a stupid American who doesn't know what a party pie is.
Wow, that's...
didn't just drop a party pie, also dropped some stupid American.
I tell you what, one of the things I have used Google Home for the most is asking whether a particular food is okay for dogs just before I feed that food to the dog. I've learned some very important things.
Siri, is snail pellets good for dogs?
Yeah, he's obviously ruffled a few feathers because that depends what's in the pie. Calling it a party pie tells us nothing.
Well, that's maybe one of the stupid Americans.
There's a party in the pie. Yeah. There's some whistles and a cake.
Yeah.
Why is there not a category for questions about ducks?
What category is that posted in?
That's under pets, birds. Well. And then someone replied, there is. birds. Ducks and birds.
Yeah, well, that was. That was a wise quack.
Then someone has written, is it worth to pay to be in a dog show and the judges pick not the best dog? And then this person then goes ahead and answers their own question and say, I would say yes and no. The National Dog Show, the judges didn't go through all the dogs because there is one judge. It's not fair. Say I'm the judge. I don't care which dog. I'll just pick the one I like. There should be more judges in one competition. Like that.
Stupid American dog shows.
Why does my ferret like to eat the food that's stuck in my teeth?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Sridhar writes, because it's food.
And it's called a ferret because it ferrets, right? It's going in to get the food from your teeth.
It's a flossy ferret.
From a nook, a cranny. It's off. I should be answering the questions on this Yahoo answers.
Jerry S. writes, he likes you and thinks you're his dad.
I don't go trying to get the food out of my dad's teeth, so I don't understand that theory.
Someone else writes, because you're disgusting. And Jason writes, that is absolutely disgusting. Sparrow writes, I think it's a way of grooming you. That's something animals do to show affection. Then Lily writes, I'm pretty sure it's just hungry and it found food. Please clean your teeth better.
Please post this under the good dental hygiene section.
Also, don't let your ferret close to your face if your mouth is open. That might solve the problem. Elaine writes, why do you let him?
That's a little along the lines of, why do my balls hurt when I hit it with this hammer?
This one, which I think, again, also belongs in more than one category. I caught my son trying to induce vomiting on our dog.
Whoa!
Like, he was shoving his finger way down the dog's throat to make her throw up. He claimed that she ate too much dog food. Needless to say, the dog wasn't happy. Do dogs even have a gag reflex? More importantly, is this normal behavior in a 13-year-old boy?
It's a great punchline.
Thanks and God bless. Someone then writes, your son is at the age where they start abusing animals just for kicks. Kids his age have set dogs on fire, kicked and abused, hung poking eyes. You need to make special effort to see that the kid doesn't abuse the dog anymore. Make his punishment severe enough that he will think twice before he does anything mean to the dog again.
Can I suggest possibly get the dog to stick the paw down the kid's throat in a punishment fits the crime kind of scenario?
Yes. Well, we know what children who abuse animals grow up to be.
Yes. On a podcast.
My mum's friend do not like my fiancé because he is known to dislike dogs. I think it's not fair. They therefore think that he is a mean person, but I am not a dog person, so why do I care if he likes dogs or not? I used to like dogs, but now I don't like them after either. People dislike dogs for a reason. Mine is that I was kissed by a dog on the lips once. I found that offensive and disgusting, but no one took my side and understood my feelings.
There was no request.
Yeah, Anonymous points that out and says, yes, you think it's not fair. Other than that, do you have a question?
Why are you here?
I really like Anonymous.
Yeah. Belgian Nut writes, get over yourself and grow up. Anonymous, another Anonymous writes, do you have a question? You didn't actually ask one. And another Anonymous writes, to each their own.
I mean, what did these people do prior to the internet to get the answers to their insane questions?
They were the ones screaming in parks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then lastly, this was one that in the pets category, but I'll let you try and work out what category you think it should be in.
All right.
If you're taking a drug test and alone in the bathroom, why don't you just stick it in the toilet water? Like a bathroom with clear water?
What category is this in?
This is under pets.
Yeah.
Not birds.
No. Okay. Answer by Anonymous. Don't do that. I would not recommend it. Because toilet water and urine don't have the same compounds. There is going to known it's just toilet water. Best thing to do is buy fake urine test online. Use that and keep it on your car or nearby place. Once they ask you for urine tests, say, yup, hold on, I need to drink water, I'm dehydrated. Go inside car, actually come back and drink water with the fake urine inside you pocket. Go to washroom, pour it there, pour it with their tester or whatever, but make sure you do not show how to hide or anyone else see your fake urine. Other than that, if your drug tests are not random and you have fixed date, just a month before, do a tolerance break and drink lots of water.
That's my favourite pet.
Yeah. I feel like it should have been under the duck section.
Yeah, I'm so tempted to just get myself an account, probably an anonymous account, and just troll that.
It's
business.
A hell of a rabbit hole. Like, yeah. you will lose hours to reading.
I smell a new regular
set. Yeah.
I love it when
it could
the
be
internet,
a new source for fact bombs.
I love it when the internet writes our shit for us.
You know that we often do a segment where I interact with the online artificial intelligence known as Cleverbot. Today, I thought I'd do something a little bit different. And I've brought in an interface because I knew that we would have your dog, Chucklebucket. Mm-hmm. Uncle Chucklebucket.
Uncle Chucklebucket.
In the studio. And I thought what we'd do is allow Cleverbot to interpret Charlie's responses to my standard kind of dog interactions.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like it could be good.
So we'll invite Charlie in.
Mm-hmm. Sure, hang on.
Charlie.
Come on, Charlie.
There you go.
Good boy.
Good boy. Good boy, Charlie.
And we'll affix the headset. And it seems to be working. All right. So we've got the headset on. Yep. All right, let's see how this goes. Hey, little guy.
I have been trying to contact you forever, but now you are here.
Who's a good dog?
Benedict Cumberbatch. I also like Tom Hiddleston and Adam Driver.
Do you want a treat?
I might paint a picture of a clown.
Can you beg?
I can, but I don't like to.
There you go. Aren't you a clever little guy?
What do you think of the flat earth theory?
You're a good boy.
Thank you, I suppose.
Do you like the new suit I bought you that makes you look like a polar bear?
This has nothing to do with the Chamber of Secrets.
Who's a good boy?
Frankenstein.
Would you like a little scratch behind the ears?
I love scary movies.
Good doggy.
I'm not a dog, just a sloth.
Would you like to go for a walk?
How will we do that?
By walking?
I'll get my coat.
Where would you like to go?
Let's go to the mall.
What are you going to do at the mall?
Buy a red, strapless dress.
Hey. Hey, stop humping my leg.
I like to hug.
Bad boy.
I said let go and you kissed me anyway.
Go to your bed.
If I step one way, half the world is frozen.
You're a bad dog.
I'm a dragon dummy.
Wow, Charlie's got some really weird.
Charlie's got some weird thoughts. Ideas.
Yeah, let's all blame the dog. like a fart.
Yeah.
Why aren't there more duck questions? And that rather neatly brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for choosing us above other podcasts. Because remember, every minute you listen to us, you're not listening to an inferior podcast.
Mm.
So we're all winners. Who isn't a winner? Exactly. Until next we meet. Until next we talk, you listen, and the world keeps a-turning. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And also, remember, if you really like this podcast, and you really do, why don't you go to iTunes or wherever you enjoy podcasts and give us a bloody good review. And maybe click on a few stars, maybe 5, 6, 8 stars, and that will mean that other people will be able to listen to our podcast in the knowledge that it's a quality production.
Yeah, and also, Man Bites God, who are the three people we are, have music for sale on iTunes. You can listen to that on Spotify or Apple iTunes or wherever the tunes are in the eyes.
Yeah, or Facebook or Twitter, we're also there.
Yeah.
If you're interested in adopting one of three adult male pets...
Get in touch. We've got a Twitter. What's our Twitter? TOTW Podcast?
Yep. Do it on there.
At TOTW Podcast. If you want one of us or all of us in onesies, but remember... It's a commitment. It's a proper thing.
Yeah, we're not just for Christmas.
We're not just for Christmas.
Yeah.
Except for Chris. What do you want? Mark will be editing this bit. Hey, Mark, when you're editing this, fuck you. That's just a little pick me up.
Yeah.
A little funny moment just for Mark when he's editing.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark. Yeah. Fuck you.
And that fart you did before.
Yeah. I play the dog. This is Man Bites God. This is